Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Joshua Cause, an investigative reporter for The Nation, where he covers military and veterans issues. He is the winner of the National Magazine Award, the George Polk Award, the IRE Award, National Headliner Award, Casey Medal, Mental Health Media Award, and the Military Reporters and Editors Award. His recent three-part series for The Nation showed how military doctors are purposely misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, labeling them mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joshua Cause.
Good to be with you, Ian.
And, of course, on Veterans Day, this is a pretty alarming and somewhat disgraceful revelation that you've brought forth, Joshua. I believe this has affected up to 31,000 vets from Afghanistan and Iraq who, instead of being treated for their wounds, they have been diagnosed and purposely diagnosed or misdiagnosed as having personality disorders to deny them medical care and disability pay. So is this just some incredibly hideous and cynical way of saving monies at the expense of the fighting men and women, the very people that all of our politicians say we can't do enough for?
Well, money is certainly a factor in it. I've been working on this story for the last 9 years, and that number you quoted, over 31,000 soldiers have been discharged from the military since 2001 with personality disorder. It's a pre-existing mental illness that really has nothing to do with these wounded soldiers themselves. We're talking about men and women that returned from Iraq and Afghanistan with physical injuries. By diagnosing them with this pre-existing condition, they can slide them out the side door without giving them disability benefits and severely limiting the medical care they can receive in the coming years. In fact, Ian, one of the other traumatizing aspects of these personality disorder discharges is that the soldiers have to give back a chunk of their signing bonus, so that thousands of our wounded soldiers have been finding out on their final day in uniform they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
So when you talk about these wounded, you mentioned physical wounds, but what criteria are there for psychological wounds? Because we all know, I don't know whether you've seen the extraordinarily famous John Huston film from World War II that was actually banned, about all of the vets from World War II. They called it shell-shocked. It was a euphemism for, you know, people with extreme real mental disorders as a result of the traumas from the battlefield. So what criteria do they have? Here they have this phony criteria of personality disorder, which they're arguing is pre-existing. In other words, you had it before you went to Iraq and Afghanistan, and yet you get wounded there both physically and mentally and come back. And what diagnosis is there and what criteria are there for what has happened to you in the theater?
Yeah, shell shock became post-traumatic stress disorder, which became PTSD. I mean, I think it's really important to keep these two categories separate and clear. With personality disorder, it's a distinct mental illness that has absolutely nothing to do with these wounded soldiers. I've been speaking with soldiers who came back with shrapnel wounds. I spoke with a military doctor who talked to me about the pressure on him to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. He told me about a soldier who came back with a chunk missing from his leg. His superiors wanted him to diagnose that as personality disorder. Now, one of the war-related injuries that has also been purposely misdiagnosed as personality disorder is PTSD. The injury that pops right to mind is the thousands and thousands of our female soldiers who are being sexually assaulted during our service. Perhaps it would be a surprise for your listeners to know that 25% of our female soldiers are sexually assaulted during their service. And I've spoken with so many of those female soldiers who spoke to their superiors, made the move to report being raped, and their superiors turned right around and said, oh, so it sounds like you need to be discharged with a personality disorder.
Well, this is so shocking, and it's a particularly deeply ironic on Veterans Day. Joshua, you'll be giving a TED Talk this coming Sunday, and the only thing that I can, just going back to my original question, if this is about saving money, apparently the military have saved over $17.2 billion in disability and medical care by misdiagnosing up to 31,000 wounded vets. We just got through talking about the $607 billion defense bill, where they've loaded about $11 billion of completely extraneous pork barrel spending. So, again, I'm just mystified as to why the veterans are getting shafted here, because, as I say, the mantra amongst politicians always is that we can never do enough for our fighting men and women.
Yeah, I think so many of us who have been looking at the budget and looking at the way these veterans are treated have been mystified as well. You'd think that some of the expenditures for the aircraft could go to these veterans. You wouldn't have this push and pull to get them the proper medical care that they need. But as it is, as you mentioned, over $17.2 billion in disability benefits and medical care have been saved by purposely misdiagnosing the soldiers as having a pre-existing condition. You get them out the side door and you save a lifetime of medical benefits, and it's tragically devastating for so many of these soldiers who need that medical care because they're coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan wounded. This is right when they need that care, and instead they're being told, not only are you not going to get it now, but you'll never be able to receive it. Now, it's worth mentioning that the military doesn't deny any aspect of this scandal. What they do say is that this is not an act of injustice, because these soldiers, they can appeal their discharge, get it overturned by the appeals board, and then at that point, once they win on appeal, then they can get their disability benefits and their medical care, and they can set that personality disorder discharge aside. But I have to tell you, there's been further reporting on this by a wonderful reporter from Fusion Television, Alyssa Figueroa. She spent a year looking at the personality disorder discharge appeals and looking at the last 3,000 cases that went before the appeals board. The number that were overturned, zero.
And, of course, you mentioned also that the signing bonus gets docked as they go out the door. So they end up owing the military or the Pentagon thousands of dollars.
They come right out of the military deeply in debt, and then obviously they need to scramble to get a job to pay that debt. But now they have a piece of paper, a discharge, saying they're mentally ill. Well, are you going to hire someone who's labeled mentally ill upon coming out of the military? Most people wouldn't. And for them to have to explain, no, you don't understand, this is just a scam, I'm not actually mentally ill, I simply reported being raped, no, I just had my pelvis fractured during the war, it leaves these veterans and their families in such crisis with no way to get a proper job and no way to pay the debt that they suddenly owe the military that they had served.
So why, again, it seems so punitive and so arbitrary, and if it's about saving money, it's just cruel and unusual punishment. But you would have thought that even if they wanted to save the money, they shouldn't stigmatize these people who've served their country. I mean, what's the point of stigmatizing? Couldn't they, even let's say they just this is a cynical effort to save money. Could they have given them some other discharge that wouldn't prevent them from getting a job?
You know, the Government Accountability Office took up exactly this issue in a report about personality disorder discharges that they released earlier this year. they wanted to see what had been happening, because it was clear to them that that number, 31,000 discharges since 2001, was way low. That's a figure that came from 2012 from a study at that point. Things have obviously progressed since then because these discharges are ongoing. Ian, I tell you, I got a yet another call today from another distressed mother telling me, this has happened to my son. He was physically wounded during his service. How could they do this? Now he's in crisis. Please help. The Government Accountability Office recognized this continuing flood, and they wanted to see exactly how many soldiers we're talking about and how much money in savings we're talking about. And so they dug into this where it is now and found that they couldn't even track it anymore, because to avoid detection, each of the branches was now coming up with a new name for these discharges. Some were sticking with personality disorder. Others were calling it adjustment disorder. Others were picking another avenue altogether. Same lack of benefits, same lack of medical care, but just slightly different names. And the military replied and said, well, we're trying to take away that stigma, exactly addressing the concern you had mentioned. We want to save money. We don't have the funds to provide medical care and disability benefits, but we don't want soldiers being labeled mentally ill when we return them to the States. So you have to really decide on your own. Is this a humanitarian effort to not stigmatize the soldiers, or is this more of an underground effort to stop the rest of the government who's inspecting this issue from detecting just how many discharges there are?
Well, I can't help feeling, Joshua Cause, that this has something to do with the enormous and scandalous statistics of suicide amongst veteran and homelessness and drug addiction. Because it sounds like if you get diagnosed on your way out and you need medical help and you need disability pay, and not only do you not get it, they take away your signing bonus, so you owe them money, and then on top of that, you get stigmatized, so you can't get a job. You know, little wonder that there's an epidemic of drug addiction, homelessness, and suicide amongst veterans. Is there
little wonder that, according to the Pentagon, 22 veterans are committing suicide every single day? Yeah, no, I saw this right from the start in my reporting. In 2007, when I first started digging into this, I spoke with families who had experienced exactly this. Their children came back from the war. They had been diagnosed with personality disorder when really it was another wound altogether. And they, in crisis, ended up committing suicide. It's terribly devastating for these families. They don't really seem to get justice any other way. The mother that called me this morning, in fact, wanted to know how she could get this discharge overturned. And right now, that doesn't seem to be a possibility. The dozens and dozens of cases I've looked at since 2006, only one was actually overturned, and that was a soldier that came into the military with tremendous contacts already in the upper echelons of the Pentagon.
So, apart from yourself, what's being done then to address this scandal? You're exposing it, and I'm sure our audience is quite shocked to learn this. Is there anybody taking up the cause?
There are. Well, you know, I should say, I hope this Sunday will be a game changer. The TED Talk, I'll be addressing this, and we're going to have two of these soldiers who have been discharged with personality disorder. One, Amy Quinn. I mentioned her case. She had reported being raped while serving on the USS Harry Truman. Instead of arresting her attackers or confining them, they gave a discharge to her for personality disorder. Sergeant Chuck Luther will be there as well. He went through all kinds of hell in Iraq after he was knocked to the ground by a mortar blast, slammed his head against the concrete. He ended up with headaches so severe that they would blot out his vision, literally blinding headaches. And when they tried to tell him that his blindness was caused by personality disorder, he refused to sign the documents. They put him in a closet until he would sign those papers. Upon coming out, he's actually founded a wonderful organization called Disposable Warriors, specifically to help soldiers discharged with personality disorder. And I should mention Tim Walz as well.
I wish we had more time. I know that I'd hate to cut you off, Joshua, but we simply have run out of time. I thank you so much for joining us. This is a real eye opener, and I appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
And again, I've been speaking with Joshua Kors, an investigative reporter for The Nation, where he covers military and veterans issues. He's the winner of the National Magazine Award, George Polk Award, IRE Award, National Headliners Award, Casey Medal, Mental Health Media Award, and the Military Reporters and Editors Award. And his recent three-part series for The Nation showed how military doctors are purposefully misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, labeling them mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can scroll down on the right-hand side to subscribe to iTunes podcasts. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.